Good morning, 8:38, Finger Lakes Morning News. It's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. And so we say good morning, and I guess it's never too early to say Merry Christmas to Laura Turbide. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Love this season.
We've been talking on the community calendar about the various remembrance projects that you can do at the various facilities, the pine cones and the lights and all. Want to run those down?
Absolutely. All three of our auxiliaries are amazing, and they are, believe it or not, kind of a smaller groups of auxilians, and yet what they complete is incredible to me. So they step forward, they help decorate and get a tree ready and get our places festive, but more importantly, they raise money towards needed equipment and supplies. So each year, holiday remembrance tree in Geneva with pine cones that you can name in honor of maybe a favorite caregiver, in honor of a family member, a birth you might have had this year, in memory of a loved one. Similar, let their lights shine in Penn Yan at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital. Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital Auxiliary has been doing that for many years. They create a beautiful opportunity to celebrate a loved one. And then the Taylor Brown Festival of Stars from the Taylor Brown Auxiliary at Huntington Living Center. So all three do something special. They make our facilities sort of welcoming, and they're the ones that really, I think, create more of a festive spirit for us, in addition to the fact that this will be a good fundraiser for them. They in turn give that to the Finger Lakes Health Foundation, where, by the way, at any point, today is Giving Tuesday.
Right.
If you know people who have everything, who you want to honor or recognize in some way, go on to our website, make a donation to Finger Lakes Health Foundation in honor or in memory of someone. It's kind of the gift for someone that has everything, and it helps support access to local care in their community, still supporting 3D mammography at Soldiers and Sailors. You can designate to any program, any project, any department, but I would certainly say it's Giving Tuesday, and we really need and count on our community support. So.
All right, very good. We have a first-time guest.
I love it. I always love to bring someone new. I sneak somebody new in, and Ted, and we have to go find someone new. So I'm thrilled to have Julia right here, and Julia has joined us in the past 18 months or so, about.
Yes.
And she's with Finger Lakes Health as our supervisor of respiratory therapy, a huge part of what we do at the hospital with many, many inpatients, kind of one of those important but behind the scenes until you need it kind of services. Until you really need respiratory therapy or a pulmonary function test, for example, you might not ever come across somebody and know how important it is for them in terms of your discharge, in terms of your stay, in terms of your health and prevention of or management of chronic disease. So this morning we're going to talk about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, one of the most common diagnoses for admission to the hospital, one of the most common diagnoses for readmission, where people have to sort of come back in just when you want to get home and stay and get settled and be healthy again, you end up back. And we're going to talk about a lot of the ways that you can prevent those kinds of things, as well as help manage, as well as what it is. So thank you, Julia.
Julia, welcome. It's good to have you here. So we always start with new people with just a little bit about yourself and where you're from and what led you down the path to this position at Finger Lakes Health.
I have been a respiratory therapist for about 35 years. Made the decision early on in my undergrad that's what I wanted to do. Went to respiratory therapy school, which is a community college-based program, and have been doing respiratory therapy ever since. Ended up at Finger Lakes Health about a year and a half ago as the supervisor of respiratory therapy. They asked me to look at COPD. I became a COPD educator recently, and that is what I'm doing for Finger Lakes Health.
So a lot of medical disciplines have really changed over that time. Has respiratory therapy changed a lot? I guess one thing is, when you started, I don't think we even had the term COPD yet, did we?
No, not at all. Respiratory therapy's come a long way. Respiratory therapy used to be called the equipment jockeys. That's what they did. They ran the equipment around the hospital, but no more. Now it's strictly a clinical profession.
So let's talk about COPD. It's an umbrella term that covers actually a number of different specific ailments. So break down what those are.
It mostly encompasses emphysema and chronic bronchitis, a little bit of asthma, but mostly emphysema and chronic bronchitis.
So what is emphysema and what is bronchitis?
Well, they're mostly brought on by smoking or by being around secondhand smoke for much of your life. And it affects the little air sacs in the ends and the bottoms of your lungs. It stretches them out. Normally, they're very elastic, and that's how your lungs, how you inhale and exhale, but it affects those little sacs and it stretches them out so that you don't have that elasticity anymore.
So we've heard all the quit smoking ads for years that say if you quit, that some of this damage can be reversible. So how much can be reversible, and at what point do you reach the point of no return where you've damaged your lungs too much?
Well, there really is no reversibility with it, but you can stop the damage in its tracks when you stop smoking. You can stop the damage at that point and move forward. And I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Just what you can do to
at how, that point how... at that point your best bet is to see a pulmonologist so that you get on a good drug regimen and healthy eating habits, healthy living habits, quitting smoking, using nicotine replacement therapy if you need it, and complying with doctor's orders.
So before we get into management of COPD and how you can try to contain it in your day-to-day life, topic of the day, vaping. How much do we know? Is it the flavored products that cause the problem? Is it the black market stuff that people shouldn't be buying? Is it everything? I suppose we probably don't know a lot of those answers quite yet, do we, or do we?
We know some answers, and the bottom line is it's a foreign substance. And why would you want to put a foreign substance in your body? It's just like tobacco. No difference at all.
So it was originally sold as a safer alternative to smoking. So what's a better alternative? I mean, should we do the patch or something like that
nicotine replacement therapy and not smoking at all is the only way to go.
Okay. So let's talk about some of what you do in terms of education and how people can recognize when these symptoms might be coming and try to manage them in our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm. The American Lung Association puts out a COPD action plan, and that can be had on their website, ALA.org. And that action plan lays out how, as a COPD patient, how you should feel on a green day. It's color-coded. How you should feel on a green day, which is a good day. How you would be feeling on a yellow day, which is a not-so-great day. And how you should be feeling on a red day, or you would be feeling on a red day when you're having a really bad time and it's time to go see the doctor or go to the emergency department.
What triggers these various, what would make something turn into a red day?
You know, that's almost patient-specific. It's something different for everybody. It can be the cold air for one person. It can be dust for another person. It can be having been around a smoker for somebody else. It can be having skipped a medication for whatever reason, a puff on an inhaler in the morning. It all depends on the patient. Everybody's different.
You mentioned in terms of temperature triggering it, and mm-hmm. I've often wondered about this because I don't know where this falls on the pulmonary spectrum, but I've noticed in myself temperature change. Like if I get into a really hot car, I'll start sneezing and get all congested up, or the other way around. If I'm in a warm room and then I get out someplace and it's really cold, it brings on, for me, it's just temporary symptoms, but is that common to see just temperature alone trigger
yes.
problems in lung function?
Yes, it can.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to talk to patients about management? What's you mentioned a little bit about just kind of recognizing what sort of day you're having. What else do you teach them in terms of living with COPD?
Well, we start out and we do a pretty thorough assessment as to what they're doing to manage their COPD presently. And then we look to see what we can problem solve or what we can make better within their current regimen, and then we target those particular things. Probably one of the biggest thing is medications. Medications are coming on the market fast and furious. It's almost difficult to keep up with all the new medications. It's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with older medications, but the newer things tend to be purer and a little bit better for you. They're also more costly. And insurance doesn't always cover those newer medications. So we're busy looking to kind of see where somebody's insurance lines up with what they need for medications and how we can marry those up to be the most fruitful for the patient, where they get the most benefit out of it.
I know there are a lot more long-term solutions than there used to be. For a lot of people, it was the rescue inhaler. Now there are more and more medications that you can take mm-hmm. once every how often. Are those pretty effective for the most part in keeping the symptoms at bay?
Yes. Inhaled steroids is a big one. inhaled steroids do not affect you systemically, like steroids you take in a pill form or in an IV, and they're very effective in the lungs to decrease inflammation.
It seems like we're seeing more kids with asthma these days. Is that there are more kids with asthma, or we're better at diagnosing it now than we used to be and recognizing it in more kids?
I think it's both. I think it's a shared opportunity there. I think there are more kids with asthma for whatever reason, and we are much better at diagnosing it and treating it.
What should we do in terms of our day-to-day lives, dehumidifiers or air purifiers in the office or at home? Is there any medical advice in terms of those?
Keeping your environment humidification savvy is a definite plus. You don't want to be totally dehumidified so that you're dried out.
Right.
And you don't want to be overly humidified so that you're wet.
I remember one radio station I used to work at, it was so dry in the studio, if we touched anything, it would send a spark.
Right,
You know, the papers on the wall were curling up. I mean,
right.
The humidity was like 8% or something in that room. That's
right.
Not healthy.
Right. The best living environment I have personally ever lived in was when I was in a house that had a humidifier attached to the furnace. And we actually had a humidistat in the wall built in.
Wow.
And because I had very bad allergies at that time. And it was the allergist had really stressed that I needed to have my humidity at a specific point so it wasn't too dry or too wet.
And do you find that a lot of patients are able to comply with some of these suggestions? Certainly we know that quitting smoking is probably one of the number one issue, but it's also one of the hardest addictions to struggle with.
Right.
We know that. So we certainly know supporting with some kind of tobacco cessation, nicotine replacement, other kinds of things is number one. Obviously, there's the medication management, but what are the other things that people struggle with where we feel like we know that they can be sort of an advocate for themselves? Sort of where we talk a lot about modifiable risk factors with other kinds of disease processes. What are the things some of us can do? We obviously can be attuned to our environment, attuned to our own feelings that day, as you said, using the sort of stoplight method on the ALA website. But what are some of the other proactive activities we can do, particularly if maybe we were exposed to secondhand smoke as a kid, didn't have a lot of that control of that, and now do tend to get that chronic bronchitis or that breathlessness that we know is sort of this often, very often a symptom. So maybe a little bit about symptoms and maybe what we can do in our control to prevent symptoms.
If you've been around secondhand smoke or you've been a smoker yourself and you do wonder if you're having symptoms related to COPD, those symptoms might be some wheezing, especially when this time of year when you go out in the cold, a cough that you don't normally have during the good weather, maybe sputum production. The best thing you can do for any of that is get to your doctor and find out what you can be doing medication-wise, because those are all treatable with medications. Beyond that, healthy living is going to go pretty far as well. Eating healthy, getting exercise, movement. Moving, a lot of COPDers tend to get very sedentary, and they need to move. And not to be afraid of oxygen. I find a lot of our patients feel that once they have oxygen at home, that's the end. And it very much is not the end.
Yeah.
It very much is not the end. It can go an awful long way in helping with your energy reserves. And just because you've got oxygen in your home doesn't mean you need it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
You may only need it as needed.
We have just a few seconds left, so how does somebody contact you to learn more about these things you talked about today?
They are more than welcome to give me a call in my office. You may get my voicemail, but I will call you back. And that number is 315-787-4388.
All right, Julia, thanks. We appreciate the visit, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
Laura, thank you as always.
Thank you, Ted.
Appreciate it. Don't forget to donate to those Finger Lakes Health projects for the auxiliaries. It's 8:53 now.